B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Happy Tuesday.
Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich. Good morning. Joe Murray here in studio with us, and hope you gentlemen had a good evening yesterday. Hope you were living the disc golf lifestyle like I was. It's such a beautiful day.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Legitimately getting better at it.
It's not. No, it's two different discs, right? There's
three
the tee,
bitches.
Sorry, there's the tee off disc. There's the putting disc. What else do you have? What
we got the disc? Fairway, which has like a leopard on it.
Why?
Because it's super cool, like a leopard. And then
is that like when a woman buys like a leopard print capri pants and she's really excited about it? That
because
kind of
it's
thing?
Super cool, like a dude is. When
right.
you got a leopard on your disc, you know that you've got big things coming at you.
Okay.
There's the mid range,
what defines mid range in disc golf exactly?
Anything right out of the circle. See, there's a big chalk circle that is about maybe 20 feet outside of the basket where you throw the discs.
Okay.
So there's a big ring around it. That's essentially the green. So just outside of it. Anywhere else, I'm using the leopard, okay? Because the leopard's my guy. And they float differently. You know, the leopard just for distance, and you can see it. But like, you know, the putter, which is the third disc,
do you roll that one? How does that work?
No, it's just heavier. It's heavier because you don't want that thing to curve. You want it to be straight, like a dart, like an arrow. So you throw them differently too. It's like, you know, in golf, when you've got like a slice and a hook, you adjust. I've got this thing whenever I throw my disc that it goes right and curves left. But if you can master where the curve goes,
I see.
You can carve those trees and, you know, go around them sons bitches.
So it's
and get
like the
right
fade.
The
it's like the draw and the fade in golf. I understand. Okay,
yeah, oh yeah. Oh, sure. Essentially. I gotta be honest, I watch videos of some of these guys and I don't know, and they're like stick figures. And I don't know how they can sling it like hundreds of yards. I mean, I'm going like 50 yards at a time. Like, I can barely throw it. I'm like, wah, wah. And so, but I mean, it's something that, you know, when there's not a lot else to do, it's a nice day outside, you go sling the old super disc. And I'm super cool with my three. There's guys apparently who play who have like a set of like six different discs. It's like they got a full on
guy who shows up with the backpack.
Are they dressed in character when they show up, Rich? Like the ones that have their own disc. Come on.
Do they show up on their Super X mini bikes? And
they get dropped off. They get dropped off by their mom.
Well, you got to show up with your own discs. I mean, they don't give you discs when you get there.
What's the first thing that comes to mind when you see someone come into like a pool hall or whatever, and they like busted out their own?
Oh yeah.
You
stay away from them. Is what you do.
Is that what these guys do when they show up to the old disc course?
Oh, it's Kingpin. It's like, you know, it's when the guy shows up with the rose bowling ball. And I was like, ooh.
Beatings would ensue.
Why immediately go up to him and say, how can I be your friend, Mr. Six Disc Guy? So the three disc one is just like when you say, I want to buy disc for disc golf.
It's a starter set. It's like a kid. You know, your first set of clubs is like the little kid. Yeah, I get it.
Right. I have what would be like the, like if you were skating back in the day, you'd have like a Veriflex or a Volterra, like the one you could get at Target for like $20. That's essentially what I'm showing up with. There's dudes out there. These things, like, you know.
Is there drinking involved in this, or is it just mostly to? How cool you can be throwing a frisbee.
Usually there's drinking. It hasn't been with me.
Not like a cornhole game on the beach. I've seen these frisbee games on the beach. There's one called Can Jam.
Love
Can Jam. You know why? Because you're standing next to a barrel and you basically have a drink in one hand.
Right.
And frisbee gets thrown at your head at the other.
Spike ball's my favorite, man.
Really? Oh, spike ball's the worst in my opinion.
Well, I don't run around. I just spike the damn thing and let my teammate go over.
Oh, okay. So that's why. See, spike ball's too much work. If it's a beach game, there has to be a decent amount of being sedentary. Like not having to move too much.
There's a game that I've seen, you know, in addition to the Can Jam, there's one where you stick a pole in the ground, but usually there's a beer can on top of it, you know, an aluminum beer, and you throw it at the pole, and then if it hits the pole, you have to try and catch the beer can as it falls.
Okay, but you don't have to, like, dive for it. Like, you just basically can be there.
No, you can stand within 3 feet of it, and you just, you know, you talk to the other person while you're drinking, watching the other people throw the Frisbees.
Mm-hmm. Now we're talking. You see, that sounds like a good game. Cornhole, great game.
This sounds like role play. This sounds like, you know, guys out running around throwing Frisbees hundreds of yards.
Yeah. Well, what is golf then? I mean, it's you're basically doing it, but it's faster and it's less clunky, and you're just, you know, walk up to your Frisbee and it's free.
Is it more douchier or nerdy? I'm trying to figure this out because I don't know if Hardy's going to get pissed.
Hardy lives for this kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. I don't know if Hardy, you see, Hardy likes, What is it?
Ultimate Frisbee.
Ultimate, that's what. Sure. Hardy's huge into Ultimate. I don't know if he's into disc golf. I don't know if the disc golf guys are apart from the...
No, Hardy's into regular golf very heavily.
Yeah, but I mean, the people...
I don't know if it crosses over, John.
That's what I'm going to say. Okay. Do those two sides mix? Is it like the Sharks and Jets? I mean, is there like a big fight when the two of them show up at the same space?
Ultimate Frisbee is actually fun as hell if you've ever played it before. That's the one that's like football, right? Except, I mean, not like football. It's like
it's two hand tag without
rugby.
The two hands.
Yes,
without the tag.
Right, without the tag. Yeah. But you're basically just tossing it to, you know, you get tagged. You have to throw it within like 2 seconds or something, and you basically try to get it into the end zone. The rules are very loose.
It's a game you play when you're not playing hacky sack.
There's a lot of crossover between hacky sack and ultimate. Yes. Okay. I went through a lot of college watching that. Yeah.
Speaking of 420, exactly.
You know, you're asking me, like, what is the normal disc golf player? I don't know, because I go there and I don't see hardly anyone.
That's true.
I
mean, he's on an island.
But it's not even that. It's like, dude, it's in a giant forest, and it's, like, spread out. The only thing I see are, like, people, because this is a disc golf, and it's amazing. I mean, apparently, according to people who have told me, and I've seen stuff online, like the course is unbelievable. Like it's really well taken care of. But I mean, it's essentially a gigantic dog park. I mean, there's just dogs running around peeing on bushes.
As you're going through the forest, Rich, you ever see people with metal detectors? Those are probably
sweeping
the ground looking for coins.
Every once in a while, there is like a little bit of nefarious activity, just someone walking into the thickness of the woods and out of it. I'm like, where are
they? Wait a minute. I was just going to say, the jingling keys? I mean, how does this work exactly?
Maybe. it's the giant anonymous sex den that I don't know that it is, and maybe there's some secret disc that you're supposed to throw into a spot, and, you know, that's kind of disc golf is your get-around type of, you know, undercover way of, you know, it's Nantucket's version of the Fens over there at Fenway.
I say we send Nick over. get some interviews.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're asking me what these people are like. I have no idea. All I know is that, you know, just out of boredom, I did it, and it's actually... It's one of those things that's really dumb until you do it, and then it's kind of fun, and it doesn't suck. And the great thing is, too, is after four holes, you can go, F it, I'm done, and just walk off.
Do you do it with your kids? Is it an activity you do with your children?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, I don't do it by myself.
You just don't show up and, like...
Whatever happened to good old, like, so growing up, like, Grinch, you'll probably remember this, but, like, hacky sack... Like every, you knew what a hacky sacker looked like. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like there was a stereo. You're absolutely right. I mean, there was a certain type of dude who carried around a hacky sack, and that was usually a dude I didn't want to be friends with.
Oh,
but it was probably a guy, Joe, that you wanted to have their phone number.
Exactly.
So.
I remember first time I saw that. I asked her, so what are you doing? I mean, what's the point of this game? How do you win? And he looked at me wearing his tie-dye shirt with the Grateful Dead playing on the boombox next to him, and he said, "Dude, we don't win. We exist.
Dude, we just smoked the joint. We just smoked the joint.
Right, dude,
now let's kick this thing and don't let it hit the ground.
You skate your lane. Good. All right. Yeah. I'm going to walk over here."
So from what I understand is that usually, like in a normal time.
John, you said, "I'm going to walk over here and throw these dice." That's what I'm going to do.
That's okay.
You guys can kick that sack around. I'm going to go over here and roll dice.
I guarantee you I'm going to show up one day. Because here's what apparently it is. Most people show up with a backpack, and the backpack has their three discs and about a six-pack of beer. And it's basically a drinking game of disc golf. I mean, no one, obviously, there's no athletic, any kind of ability necessary to do it. It's basically just to get outside and get away, and it's free. So it's not like a golf course where you have to pay a zillion dollars. I mean, all I had to pay was, I think... $25 for my three super cool discs, and that's basically it. And then I can just like, toss it around. If you get sick of it, you're done. You walk away. But I know I'm going to show up, and it's going to be a bunch of, you know, hippie dudes or whatever. I don't know. Once people actually start coming back, it might be that way. But I don't see anybody out there. It's just me and my son. We just toss the thing around and. Yeah.
Well,
watch
happy
dogs
for you.
Peeing all over the place.
I'm happy for you. This is good.
It's
a good thing. It's bonding time with your kid. There's nothing wrong with that.
Some dude just got like a massive like $10 million endorsement for disc golf. He's like this guy who does all these trick shots on YouTube, and he's unbelievable. It's like anytime I mention it, I always get like a ton of like, hey, you need to see this guy. And, you know, he's probably a lord amongst men. Shows up and people wipe his mouth, you know, as he's eating. And king of the disc golfers. So needless to say, I had a super awesome Monday.
You need to get that boat out of storage.
Oh, May 1st.
Two weeks.
Okay.
May 1st. I'm finally able to go fishing again.
You have not caught a fish yet. Is that correct?
No. I actually tried last week. So there's pond fishing. It's available. And I busted out the waders. And I walked into the middle of a pond and tried to start fishing in the middle of that. It was maybe 30 degrees. And I was standing in like the freezing cold water with my big-ass rubber waders on trying to catch something
like
out there.
A river runs through it, except bad weather.
Didn't suck. I didn't catch anything, but... I'd rather walk into the middle of a pond with waders on than just sit and do nothing.
I feel like, Rich, like one day when you leave here, when you come back to the studio, like, we should just take like a little trip down the street here to like Castle Island or whatever. You know what I mean?
A little salt water fish.
I've always caught something when I go to Castle Island.
Exactly why Rich won't catch anything. How long are you willing to let this losing streak go? Exactly.
I don't care. I like going fishing. I like thinking about fishing. I like preparing for fishing, and I don't even care if I catch a fish.
You know what?
To be quite honest, the stress of what I would do once I actually got the fish is kind of... I don't like that. Because the one time my son caught it, I didn't know what to do once it was there.
Your son caught a fish and you didn't.
I told you about this. Like last year, remember it croaked it like a frog? It was that super ugly fish with like wings.
Yeah.
And it made a weird ass noise and it freaked me out. And I'm like, what do I, like, I always thought about catching a fish, but I didn't know what to do once I caught it. Mm-hmm. So my son's like, I got a fish. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Don't look at me. And so I bought these gloves that I had with me and I tried to grab it and I watch videos on how to remove the hook from the mouth of the fish, and the fish is kicking all around. And it's, as they said, it's barking almost like a dog. I've never heard a fish make a sound. So that was freaking me out. So I grab it, and I'm trying to get the thing out. And finally, I realize if I'm going to rip this thing's mouth off if I continue to do it. So I just cut the string and threw him back in. So there's a fish hanging out with a hook in its mouth somewhere. But at least it has lips on its face. So yeah. I suck at it, but I love doing it.
I have maintained throughout the time that you have been on the island. And obviously you run out of things to do on an island pretty quick. And unfortunately you've been there how long now? 14 months?
Yeah, we're going 13 months. Yeah,
14 months. When you get back to society, which hopefully will be soon, I think
less than 2 weeks.
I think fishing is going to take a back seat to
no way.
A lot of other things.
No
now, you
way.
Insist that that's the case, but it says right here that as soon as you come back to civilization, as soon as you come back to Boston and start living your life somewhat normally here, you're not going to think about fishing for a long time.
I love it. Now, listen, I'm not going to be able to
he's
do
gonna
it
be out
as
on
much.
You know where he's going to be, John? He's going to be out on Boston Harbor.
That's a tuna, bro! I'm going to be standing like at the by Del Frisco's, like over there at the seaport.
Yeah, trying to with these guys.
That's a tuna, bro! I love it. That's the one thing that's come out of all this is that I think about it, I dream about it, I suck at it.
Well, I know, for now. But then suddenly, when presented with many more options than you currently have...
Yeah, I can't do it as
you
much.
You are not going to care
to
about it nearly as much.
Yeah, well, once I get into an environment... I'll tell you what, anytime I go on vacation, that's going to be the first thing I do is figure out where I can go fishing.
Rich, I just can't see Rich as one of those guys holding a fish up in a photo.
No!
I just can't see it, man.
I'm that guy. Well, I'm the guy dreaming of doing it, never actually doing it. But it would be nice. That would be nice. All right. We got a pretty big show today. We've got a bunch more of those. I mean, our listeners are the best. We'll talk about it later, but Trevor Bauer wrote this love song, and it was the worst thing ever. And I'm like, there had to be a girl on the other end of it. So we asked women, have you ever received a love song that a guy wrote that was just so awful that you never talked to him again? And they just came in. I mean, women hold on to everything. And we've got that also. We've got a bunch of different guests coming on, so this should be a good show. And, of course, the great Joe Murray in studio with us this morning. But first, let's get to everything that happened last night right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
.5 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and well, they were bound to lose sooner or later.
Brown, former teammates here. And he sticks it over his butt.
We can live with defensive possessions like that. Make them make tough shots.
Thompson looking for help. Found it, and Brown. Brown getting downhill, attacking, kicks it. Open shot, Williams, short.
Wow.
Thaddeus Young. They got a foul on the Celtics.
All right, and that is a taste of the broadcast last night, which, which by the way, was getting... I think some unfair criticism yesterday. I thought Danny Ainge, you know, was good. I thought he did, you know, as good of a job as he could do sitting in there.
What can he do, though, Rich? Like, he can't talk about the other players. You know what I mean? Like,
he can talk about his own, though, which I liked.
Yeah.
You know, which, and, you know, you can't talk about the refs. He even joked about that. He said he was given a note at the beginning of the game that you can't criticize the refs. You can't talk about the other guys because he could be tampering. But, you know, I thought it was fine, you know, him talking about the players. People were giving Scal, like, a load of crap. Do you know how tough it is to slide into the play-by-play mode? John Wallach
knows. How tough
is
that, John?
Yes, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. Really hard. Two incredibly. I filled in for Max a couple of weeks ago, and then the next game I filled in for Sean. And two entirely different disciplines. Max spent most of the broadcast making fun of me for stuff that I said in his place the game before. Not easy. Not easy. Two entirely different things to do.
Do we know what the Mike just took a day off? Is that it?
Yeah. Mike took the day off, and they asked Danny, apparently, if he would do it. And Danny's like, all right, fine.
Yeah. So. You see, I like when Danny's on those broadcasts, but to be honest, Mike Gorman gets the best out of him. Like, Mike Gorman asks him really good questions. I think Scal was just concentrating, and as I would have done the same thing, just concentrating and not effing up the play-by-play.
It's not easy. Not an easy thing to do, especially when you've spent a lifetime doing something else, like Scal has. Not
so easy. So they got a lot of crap. The only thing I would have said is that I would have saved Danny, and I know that they needed to fill in, but I would have saved Danny for a day where Mike Gorman was there, because Mike Gorman, you know, does, and that way Mike Gorman can do it in his sleep. Scal can say whatever he wants if he was there as well, and Danny Ainge is, you know, free to say other...
Well, make it a three-man, which they've done before.
Danny Ainge has done this before. Like, he was on TNT for years.
Sure.
I don't remember him doing for the Celtics an entire game. Usually it's a quarter or two, right?
Yeah, no, that's the first time I think Danny's done an entire game, and as you guys have said, he's hamstrung by what he can say and what he can't say. And that's why in TNT he was really good, because the shackles were off. He could say whatever he wanted. You can't criticize the refs. You can't talk at great length about the other players. You can only talk about your players and what you like and what you don't like. And of course, they lost. And Ainge said very quickly afterwards, Scal's like, so I enjoyed having you here. Did you have fun? And Danny looked at the camera and said, no, this wasn't fun at all. My team lost.
So. But what was good, though, is if you remember, they're down six. There's the fast break. Tremont Waters gets a steal. Gives it to Grant Williams. Grant Williams tries to pass it.
Standing underneath the basket. Yeah.
Ripped his own player. He goes, how are these guys wide open?
Yeah.
We're saying the same thing. Yeah. Like,
see, that I like. Like, that was great. I do like how he just all of a sudden ripped out with Cornette. He called him, Baby
Big
Bird?
Big Bird.
Thank you, Corn. I appreciate it very much. Well, the six-game winning streak is over. No Kemba, no Smart, no Time Lord, no W. The Seas lose to the Bulls, 102-96. So with all those guys out, it was up to Jason Tatum to pick up a lot of the slack. And in the end, he did pull something off for the first time in his career.
Tremont Waters finds Tatum at the free throw line. Turns the corner, stumbles a little bit in the paint, but he gets in and scores. And there's his triple-double. 10 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists for Jason Tatum. A 3-for-13 triple-double.
Yeah, that was one of the weirdest triple-doubles I've ever seen. 14 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. However, making just 3 of his 17 shots. In fairness, after the game, Tatum wasn't quite bragging about his accomplishment. Real quick, let's go to Nick. Nick on line one. Nick, what's up, man?
Guys, as a basketball player, I need to know, did Danny Ainge actually play the way he talks? Because when I listened to him talk, he wasn't a bad commentator, but he'd have things like where he'd be saying, like, gosh,
Carly,
yes,
gee willikers,
he's Mormon. Yes, that's exactly the way he operates.
Oh
yes.
Yeah, we've busted his balls before about never swearing.
That's
and like,
correct.
You know, what's the angry, and I think
he went to BYU.
That
yes, that's what he does.
Oh yeah, so I mean,
that's a real life thing. He really acts like that.
That is a real life thing. Yes,
that is Danny Ainge.
I didn't know if he was tuned down for the broadcast.
No, that's really him.
That's how weird he is. And I think that is another reason why he got under so many other players' skin, because he had that weird restraint that I think pisses other players off.
Ask Robert Horry. Robert Horry threw a towel in his face.
Good point.
Yep. And I think that that's part of what just gets under your skin about Danny Ainge when you're on the other team. But, that game last night, you know, without Williams and Smart, or that matter, the Celtics, who have been great lately offensive rebounding, they got killed. I saw Gary Washburn say that they were only able to recover 3 of their 41 missed shots. And with Zach LaVine out, you know, Vucevic had to be that guy, and he was last night. I mean, we talked about how I believe he was the piece that they could have gotten.
That's the first thing I thought of. Who was it yesterday that said
John
he wasn't? Yeah,
John Corrales.
I'd like to talk to John this morning, man, because Vucevic was that guy last night. Celtics have him. He's a difference maker. He does so many things, and he can shoot threes. He's good in the low post. He's good facing up. He's good with his back to the basket. I mean, he without Zach LaVine, as you said, Rich, he had to be the guy, and he was the guy.
He was.
Chicago's battling for a playoff spot here. I mean, they're fighting for that 10th spot and a spot in the play-in tournament. Their record is crap, but they have a chance. They're in 10th place. They got a chance to go to playoffs.
If I can be a little critical, just to be critical.
They lost to a team that's under 500.
It's a horrendous loss.
It's a horrendous loss, really considering loss. You have Phoenix and the Nets on deck.
Well, no, they just not win. Even not let just put Phoenix and the Nets away for a second. You're playing a team without one of the best players in the NBA. I mean, Zach LaVine's an all-star, and he's averaging 27, 28 points a game. You took him off that roster. I mean, how many really good offensive players are there out there except for Vucevic? You had Jason Tatum. You had Jaylen Brown. I know they were missing four rotation players.
That should be enough.
But that should be enough to beat a team like that on your own floor. And more to what you were talking about Tatum, Rich, I mean, Tatum spent the first 2.5 quarters trying to get everyone else involved. The offense took a backseat. You saw he was basically conserving himself. And when you're missing your top two point guards, you give the ball to Tatum. Peyton Pritchard's a nice player, but he's an off-the-ball, off-the-bench scorer. That's what he is. So he's not a facilitator. Tatum's a facilitator, and he spent a lot of time trying to get other people involved. And then when it came time to step up and score, he shot terribly and turned the ball over late. So let's call this for what it is. It's a bad loss to a bad team. And now, more to your point, Joe, now they have to go play Phoenix, who won again last night, and Brooklyn. And that is daunting, to say the least, because look at the standings. Everyone's stacked on top of each other. Charlotte's in eighth place, but they're going to get LaMelo Ball back in a couple of weeks.
Well, you know, I said, John, that this team has, you know, righted a lot of the wrongs over the last month. Like, they look like a completely different team than they did in March, but the one they still have yet to rectify is the turnovers. They get so sloppy. And at the end of that game, I mean, you saw it firsthand. And Tatum is one of the worst defenders of all the guys.
Yeah.
As much as his game is
doubled, Rich, he struggles.
It's true. Mm-hmm. And as much as his game has advanced, and it has, and as much as I love that he's
going
downhill
now. Last night was a step back from what we've seen the last couple of weeks.
Except for trying to facilitate, which I understand. That part of it. But
at the end of the game, in a situation like that, and apparently Jaylen Brown hurt his shoulder late in the game, so Tatum was the guy. If you're the guy, and you're the number one guy, and you're one of the best players in the league, and you can facilitate and control the game the way Tatum has been doing it, you're supposed to take over and win a game like that last night.
It was good seeing Daniel Tice on the other side of things last night, not because I'm a huge Daniel Tice fan, but because he's still getting no respect from the refs. At least this time, the C's got the benefit.
Yeah, late in the game, they chose not to foul.
That's true.
I thought the Celtics was going to pull that thing out last night. I really did.
So did I.
Well, that's the feeling you get, because over the last several weeks, they've been doing that, which has been a nice surprise. They've been a clutch team. That's why last night was, you know, and to your point, Joe, with these two tough teams on the horizon, they really could have used that win going into this two-day break before they take on, you know, these Phoenix and Brooklyn. Those are going to be tough. But, by the way, regarding that report that Adrian Wojnarowski had, that Brad Stevens had turned down 7 years, $70 million from Indiana, Stevens, before the game, was asked about it, and he seems to have no idea what you're talking about, wink, wink.
The package that you were apparently offered at IU got released on Saturday, and there was a lot of collective whoa and wows.
Well, first of all, I was never offered a package, so that's all news to me. Secondly, you know, I wasn't going to leave anyways. And the reason being is because this place, regardless if it was a pro organization or a college, has been so good to our family, so good to me. You know, I don't know how long I'm going to coach. I don't know how long I'm going to, you know, coach in the NBA. I don't know how long they'll want me to coach in the NBA. You know, I was never offered that, so I don't know where that came from.
I mean, listen, he's saying all the right things, but when Adrian Wojnarowski says you were offered $70 million 7 years, you were offered $70 million 7 years. Mm. Like that, I mean, ironclad sources with that guy. Now, it might have been not an official offer, but it might have been that they told him over the phone that's what they would give
him. Or went through an intermediary, which can happen, too.
Now, or they would have given him that, but I can see that that's part of
it. Maybe it's just a setup for how long do you give Mike Woodson there?
2 years, three maybe.
So let's just say in 2 or 3 years, they're gonna send the mother load of bread.
Oh, that's the other thing. I mean, just because this happened now in Indiana, yeah. Whether I mean, you look at the way Woj phrased it, they were might have been prepping an offer. Either way, I mean, this isn't the end of it for Brad Stevens. He's gonna get offered again. Yep. It's just a matter of when.
He'll end up being the highest paid coach in the NBA. When you get an offer like that from college, and Danny Ainge sounds like he loves him, that right there is the ultimate bargaining chip. And I have a feeling that Danny would make it worth his while to stick around.
I think Brad Stevens' future is based upon Tatum and Brown if they want to stay here. That's what I think that his future is. Yeah. Because look at their contracts. What, they're going to end, what, a year apart, those two guys?
Yeah.
Well, if one of them wants a trade, you're going to have to sell them a year early.
But it's not. But it's not by Brad's choice. You're saying that whether he sticks around,
yeah. Because if like you know Jaylen Brown wants a trade, it's going to be like, all right, do I want to stay here?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
I mean? But I see.
No matter what, though, Danny Ainge wanting to keep him around.
Yes.
Despite whatever, because I think he's going to look at the development of Jason Tatum and go, well, look what Brad was able to do with this guy.
Think about we've had Danny on every week for months and months and months, and the Celtics did not play well for the most part. Up until the last couple of weeks. And how many times have we asked him, what is it Brad's fault? Never once did he blame Brad for anything. It's a me problem. It's a player's problem. I never heard him blame Brad for anything. He said nope. Brad has always super prepared. He has his players ready. But ultimately, the players have to walk on the floor and do it. There is no chance Danny cuts ties with Brad Stevens anytime.
And I know that there's unfortunately some Celtics fans who are very angry about that. Every loss, it's Brad Stevens' fault, even though Tatum last night was 3 for 17?
17.
What are you going to do? All right. Well, of course, those two games coming up. Thursday will be the Phoenix game, and followed by the day after with the Nets. And, of course, you can hear both of those right here on 98.5 The Sports. The Red Sox played yesterday. It was fun as hell. First inning went about as well as you could possibly. They scored a ton of runs before noon. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. Yesterday, a little Patriots Day matinee, and that was fun.
Swing and a high fly ball. Jumped on this baby. That's deep to left. Back, 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 and it is gone. JD with number 6. And the Red Sox lead it 7-1. Swing and a high fly ball. That one's driven to right. Back it goes. That baby's gone. Red Sox swinging for the fences today. That's their third home run, and they lead it 9-2. Verdugo with his third.
That is Ness. And oh, by the way, speaking of fishing, you know who is like a master of posting his gigantic fishing wins?
Charlie Moore?
No. Don Orsillo, who I still, for some reason, follow on Twitter.
I do, too.
Yeah. It's like Don Orsillo, he takes pictures of two things, John. His fish, and what's the other thing that he takes pictures of?
Oh, I don't know. What's the other thing?
Like pasta he made.
Oh,
like,
no, yeah.
Look
yeah.
what I cooked. He's yeah. like Paul Stanley. He's yeah, like, look at this yeah. cook. Hashtag
but
food
it's
network.
Mostly fishing, yes.
Oh, yeah.
The pasta thing is back there. No, it's mostly what he has caught during the off season. And he's got his own boat, and he's out in the bay, and hell, if I lived in San Diego, I'd be out on the water every day, too.
He's the ultimate example of if a door closes on you, there is a chance that one that rules 10 times better than what you had before will open up.
Jesus.
I mean, the fact that it just happened to be that there was an opening in San effing Diego, and that dude is the king out there. Like, everyone loves Don Orsillo out there. And by the way, we still play Dave O'Brien clips, and still think it's Don Orsillo. They sound exactly the same, especially when we play it on the radio as well.
I used to think Orsillo sounded like Sean McDonough.
McDonough. I mean, no one's got the electric personality of Sean McDonough. I mean, we know that. John Wallach might get offended if
Jesus I say right. So, yeah, I know, Rich. It's one of those things. It's like a childhood thing, man. Like, for me, like, don't mess with McDonough, man. Like,
I know.
I remember John's like, oh, yeah, McDonough's going to do great on Monday Night Football.
He is a great play-by-play broadcaster. Awesome. However, he did not do well for Monday Night Football.
A lot of excitement here at Soldier Field. I'm joined by First Order Stormtrooper.
Yeah. You throw a curveball at Sean, he didn't handle it too well. No. I Monday Night Football was completely different, but you watch him do college games on Saturday, you watch the Red Sox, he was the gold standard for years and years and years.
He'll do the Clemson-Ohio State game, and he's awesome.
Yes.
But you put
so
him
you have just a taste of what you can expect in December. You can see how excited First Trooper Yeah. to my right here is.
You see, I'm glad Joe is here because Joe sees the same thing that I do. We understand that Sean is good at some things, and that led me to believe he'd be good at this thing. And I was alone on the island, Joe, for a long period of time and taking a beating every week from these two guys.
You are married to nostalgia.
I was.
That's what
He was a very good
broadcast. Purple Rain t-shirts, they're selling like hotcakes. I would not want to be Eli Manning tonight.
Now here's Vikings public address announcer Alan Roach.
I mean, no, like less than zero
didn't
chemistry.
Do well. I understand. He
your
didn't do it.
No. Your job, if you take over for Tirico, like if you have to be that guy, your number one job isn't doing a good job play by play. It's making Gruden shine.
I know.
You fit in with Gruden. You do everything.
He's
the star. Gruden is the star of Monday Night Football. And man, he killed him. He killed Gruden. And Gruden hated being there. And I honestly think that if it was anyone but Sean McDonough, that Gruden would still be on Monday Night Football.
No. If Mark Davis comes to you and says, I'll give you 10 years and $100 million, you go. It doesn't matter who you're working with.
I think he enjoyed doing Monday Night Football.
Gruden is a head coach. No, no, no.
More money.
No. Gruden is a head coach. You saw it with Bill Parcells. You saw it with a bunch of these guys.
Rick Pitino.
Rick Pitino. It's an itch you can't scratch. So that's not a good argument. It is a good argument.
What a grinder.
Oh.
It is a good argument that Sean sucked the life out of Gruden while he was there.
That's true.
But it doesn't matter who he was. If Tirico was still there, Gruden would still be the head coach of the Raiders.
Some people might not like this take, but Orsillo was saved. His first game was a no-hitter from Hideo Nomo.
Yep,
that's what saved him. It was hey, did you hear the call? That guy wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that. And don't get me wrong. Him and Remy for years were funny, and they were very good. And it was at the height of the Red Sox, like, ever. Like, years they sucked, and then they got this guy, and they win.
Are we comparing Sean McDonough to Don Orsillo? Don Orsillo is 1,000 times the talent that Sean McDonough is.
I don't know.
You heard it right there. Don Orsillo, by the way, I still can't understand why they didn't like him. Like, that was a really weird mind game.
I agree with that.
What was going on with Nesson? Because, you know, Orsillo was extremely good at his job. I mean,
from the outside, it looked like, okay, we have Dave O'Brien. Dave O'Brien is working radio broadcasts, and he is an ESPN-level talent. Yeah. Why don't we hire that guy, and then we'll have, you know, a guy with a national name doing our broadcasts. But I would much rather have Don. I love Don for what he did. And Don got it. You know, he did a lot. He giggled a lot. He and Remy would tell stories about Orsillo's childhood and how he used to be a little league player, and that would be like three innings. It was entertaining. It was
but
great.
I'll give you Orsillo was better than McDonough. But who did McDonough ever have with him? Bob Montgomery? Like, give me somebody good that he had next to him. Nobody.
Yeah, I want to work with him.
Oh, Remy. I guess Remy's doing it.
No. He had Dan Roach with him.
That's right.
Remember, Dan did sidelines for a while with Sean.
Yeah.
230, baby.
A guy like Orson, it's not. Dave O'Brien's fine. But Dave O'Brien, there's nothing. No one's passionate about Dave O'Brien. People liked Orsillo. Like, Orsillo actually had a little bit of a personality. Yeah,
when he giggled, nobody, he went off
but,
the rails.
But
man.
You also have to remember who was in charge of the TV broadcasts.
I mean, I don't know why Harpo
looked at him and went, national guy, we got to have that's a sexy name, national guy, quality, we'll have him do the Nesson broadcast, and we can always, I mean, that people will tune in for that. But he completely misunderstood that Don Orsillo had what O'Brien doesn't. O'Brien's perfect. He's great at what he does, but he doesn't have that extra chemistry with a guy like Remy, where they tell stories for four innings.
I just think the guy throws pizza at another guy
in the box seats. I mean, it was legendary because Orsillo made it that way.
We've gotten to the point where just being good at play by play isn't good enough.
Of course,
you have to have chemistry with the people you sit. I mean, it's why Mike and Tommy for years were amazing, because Mike knew exactly how to deal with Tommy, and he knew how to rein him in, and he knew how to let him go, and he knew when to be quiet and when to talk. Like, Mike, in my opinion, is one of the best in the business. That's why Ian Eagle does a great job. He's Ian's got a personality as well. So there's
carried Dan Fouts for years.
He did. You're absolutely right. Nope. For people to come out liking Ian Eagle after sitting next to Dan Fouts, who might be one of the worst that worked in that seat, you know, in the NFL for years, that says something about Ian Eagle's talent. And to me, Dave O'Brien is fine. And a matter of fact, the broadcasts are still pretty good thanks to when Eck shows up. I don't think Remy's good without Eck, but when Eck's there, Remy's great. So, I mean, he kind of brings... That's what I'm talking about, the chemistry mix. I don't know. The Sean McDonough thing was hysterical. When I came on, I was like, dude, Sean McDonough sucks, and you got all angry. You're like, don't kill my childhood!
I know.
Who is Monday Night Football now? Like, nobody liked Joe Tessitore.
Steve Levy and...
Steve Levy.
But no, ESPN, and this is when it was obvious, this is why they hired McDonough. ESPN wants guys that don't have too much personality and don't suck. That's Steve Levy. Steve Levy's very good, but he's not going to walk out on the edge. He's not going to say anything controversial. They have a broadcast team that you look at and go, okay. That's what ESPN wanted.
I like Steve Levy. He seems like an okay guy. But, I mean, there were games on Monday night that were garbage that I would just watch because of Gruden. And that was it.
Sure, but ESPN doesn't want that anymore. They don't want
ratings
for whatever reason. And I agree with you. I mean, Gruden was gold, and they were the reason that he was the reason why anyone watched Monday Night Football for how long? 5, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it was. But now they have guys that are in there that are fine, but
Jim Washburn was an ex-college coach. He'll get on his motorcycle and drive from coast to coast. And if he sees anybody that looks like a big explosive pass rusher, he'll pull over and work him out.
And here's a perfect example of that. Tessitore was fine, but then you put him on that show, Holy Moly, and he's good.
Yeah,
he was really good. I thought he was really fun
Another
to watch on that show. I mean, you get him on Monday Night Football, and everything changed. It's obvious what ESPN is asking those people to do.
And that's why you and Cedric Maxwell, John, you got that chemistry. You can't buy that right there, man.
We had a 15-minute conversation on fish grease the last time we worked together. It was great.
The Celtics are getting blown out by 40 to an under 500 team like they were when you were doing the broadcast last month.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when I went to the Metallica concert a couple years ago, and it was when the Celtics were playing the Cavaliers with LeBron James.
Oh, in the Eastern Conference Finals where they lost by 47 or something.
At the Metallica concert, and I said to myself, okay, I'm going to look at the score before the thing starts at Gillette, and I'm not going to look at it until I leave. I'm not going to let it bug me, even though it was a playoff game. So I left the concert a little bit early, and I get in the car and I turn it on, and for like 4 minutes the broadcast is on. It's you and Cedric Maxwell. And I got no idea what's going on. I hear basketball being played in the background, guys are talking about like bear attacks or something. And it wasn't until about 2.5 minutes in that I realized.
No, it was hippos.
These guys are getting killed.
it was hippos that night. Max brought it up, and I remember this like it was yesterday. Max asked me, okay, I was watching Nash. And again, this is the third quarter of like game two of the Eastern Conference Finals on broadcasting. And Max asked me, you know, I was watching National Geographic the other day. Do you know which animal is more responsible for killing humans each year? Is it a lion or is it a hippo? And I went lion, and he got, nope, it's hippopotamus, John. Hippos kill more humans each year than lions. And I'm like, I want documented proof. And that was probably the 4 minutes you tuned in.
That conversation went on for almost a full 4 minutes. And then I realized it's because the Celtics were down by 40 at that point, and why not? Yeah. That was great. All right. We will be right back. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.